Good afternoon. Welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host for this week, Dan Ehrsman. The Eco News Report is an exclusive feature of KHSU, brought to you by the North Coast Environmental Center, publisher of our regional environmental newspaper, Eco News. You can find this show and other KHSU public affairs shows on the audio archives page at khsu.org. Today, my guest is John Laboita of Camp Grant Ranch and the North Coast Grains Project. Thanks for being with us here on Eco News Report today.
Good to hear from you, Dan.
And so glad that you can make it. You are literally reporting from in the field there. All right. Well, you're sounding pretty great right now. Why don't you start with giving us a little background about your farm, Camp Grant Ranch, and as well as a little background on the North Coast Grains Project. We want to get into a little bit of the history of grains on the North Coast here, but also wanted to hear a bit of what you've been involved with locally for,
okay,
for the last few decades now.
Well, I came to Humboldt County about 1980, and, you know, I was had previously been a river guide on some Sierra rivers, and I thought, the six rivers, you know, this has got to be a great place to do some farming and river rafting and all at the same time. Well, I probably didn't really understand how demanding farming was going to be, so I still get in a river trip now and then, but I do spend a lot more time farming than floating. So when I first came here, we bought a little place in Shively, which I sold after a couple of years and moved to Camp Grant, which is on the main fork of the Eel River, about 3 miles upstream from the confluence of the South Fork. And it's one of these inland river terraces, probably has 150 acres of good soil there altogether. And, you know, I've been farming there since, 82 or 83, something like that. We've done all kinds of things. You know, I'd certainly for, 30 years, really, I'd been raising lots of different row crop vegetables for farmers markets. I probably participated in, maybe not every market in the county, but quite a few of them. I've been involved with starting the Southern Humboldt Market Association. You know, I was on the North Coast Growers Association board for a while. I was on the Farm Bureau board. I am still on the Farm Bureau board. After 30 years of vegetables, I'm supposed to be semi-retired, but that's kind of a joke. You know, I got involved in this grains project and still raising hay for the dairies. We're still making cider. And then, of course, somebody twisted my arm this year and said, couldn't you do some more melons and corn again? So I've got about an acre in melons, corn, and pumpkins that we're going to be doing this year.
All right. Well,
So I was going to shift to the grain project here. It was 3 or 4 years ago, I was doing the Ferndale Farmers Market. And, you know, there were a couple of people in the county that were, you know, kind of doing some pioneering work on grains. You know, obviously, Kevin Cunningham from Shake Fork Community Farm and Dan Primorano from Southern Humboldt were both experimenting and, you know, in some cases, trying some really, I'll call them old world grains that they had to get, you know, small little sample packets from the USDA seed bank. You know, they give you like 5 ounces and it takes you 3 or 4 years to grow it out to enough to where you can actually plant a field. And anyway, but I hadn't been too involved in the grains. I'd been helping Dan a little bit. And then a friend of mine who's a baker asked me if we could grow enough grain locally for her bakery. And, you know, after giving that a little thought and being persuaded by a couple of apricot torts, you know, I said, yeah, okay, we'd give it a try. And that was kind of a 2-year project. And in 2011, we harvested our first, you know, like 5 or 6 acres of grain and, you know, and basically got up to where I've got enough to handle all of her needs and some others. In the meantime, we kind of started to form, we heard of other people in the North Coast counties that were doing this. And so we formed a little, association in Marin, Sonoma, Lake, Mendocino, and Humboldt counties. We're calling ourselves North Coast Grain Growers. you know, we're linked together through a Google group. We talk to each other a lot about, you know, varieties and how to grow grain on the coast and, you know, all the steps in getting it ready for, well, for people who can use it. And I guess at this point I'd say there's kind of two avenues. I mean, some people doing grain CSAs, other people selling direct to bakeries. And
what are you doing at this point?
Well, my point is I didn't want to get involved in the milling of the grain into flour. I would prefer to sell direct to a bakery that has an in-house mill. Mm-hmm. And there are two or three of those. I think that's the easiest thing for a small farmer rather than being involved with, you know, the milling as a sort of a middleman. And then you have to, I mean, if you want to maintain the identity of your grain and your flour, you know, that gets to be kind of, you know, it's pretty expensive to set up your own milling situation and bagging and labeling and all that. Whereas if I'm selling to a bakery that has an in-house mill, then all I need to do is deliver clean whole grain to them. And that's a much simpler process. And I think that's the model, or one of the models that is happening in this local grains and artisan baking kind of partnership that's going on, is that, you know, we could sell into the commodity market to a miller, and there is at least one regional miller, or you could sell direct to the bakeries, and that's the model I'm trying to encourage.
Well, and that's great, and that, I think that the local flavor really comes through. And when you, I think one of the bakeries, Lolita Bakery, has their own mill. Is that right?
I don't know if they do anymore.
Okay.
Let me put it that way.
Okay.
I know that the Lost Coast Bakery in Ferndale has their own mill, and that's what I've been selling to them. And I know there is a new bakery trying to start in Arcata, Beck's Bakery, at the Food Works, and she is planning to have a mill, a fairly large mill, in her bakery. And I know that the Shake Fork, of course, has been milling for their CSA, and there are, well, here's a good example. You know, there's a new bakery starting up actually in San Francisco, and he's going to have an in-house mill, and he's already contacted me. Like, you know, that's almost, the mill is going to be the feature of his bakery. So people, you know, big glass front, people walk by, see the mill working.
Oh, that's great.
And then there's another one, Mike Sikowski in Sonoma, that he has his milling done by Nikki Giusto, who has a little mill set up in Petaluma. So that would be like a regional, Nikki's kind of a regional miller. He's trying to reestablish the business there.
You're listening to the Eco News Report. I'm your host, Dan Ayersman, here with John Laboito of Camp Grant Ranch. John has been a spokesperson for the North Coast Growers Association, and we're here today speaking about the past, present, and future of agriculture in Humboldt County. All right. Well, the last time that I saw you, when I visited you in the fall, you were planting cover crops, and I was really impressed by the grains that you had on hand at that point in time, and it was really neat to hear the history of those grains.
Oh, yeah.
And the history.
You were riding around on the grain drill and taking pictures and stuff, and we had all the grain in the barrels in the barn, right?
Yeah, I was struck by the history of the area, and I don't know if people realize that Humboldt County is not new to Humboldt County. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the past here.
It's not, but it hasn't happened in a long, long time. And I can put it this way. There, we've got some historic record that says that at one time Humboldt County had 15,000 acres of grain, and not just wheat, but oats and barley and others, and that there are records of shiploads of grain being shipped out of Humboldt County from Port Kenyon, which, of course, you know, Port Kenyon is on the Eel River, but it's no longer a port because the river's all filled in. And at one time there was some kind of effort to possibly develop a granary, you know, for shipping out of Humboldt Bay, and I guess it never quite developed to that point. I don't know if it's the parallel with the history of the rest of the county where, you know, I mean, Humboldt County at one point produced probably 95% of all of the food that was consumed here. But that changed fairly dramatically with the highway and the railroad and finally the freeway. And so So now it's kind of the reverse. We produce about 5% of the food that's consumed here, and 95% gets trucked in.
How much of capacity? I mean, you deal with a lot of land use issues, and I've seen you present for the North Coast Growers Association, and I think you have a really clear presence there, and you talk about the value of prime agricultural land in Humboldt County. And if you could talk a little bit about how much land is there to actually farm and the hardships people face in order to get out on the land and actually produce the grains that we need locally.
I can tell you that there are several elements of the ag community in Humboldt, current ag community in Humboldt County, and we, to some degree, tend to compete with each other for the best land. You know, there is a certain amount of, although you think about cattle ranching occurring up in the hills, and it does, it also occurs on bottomlands around the bay. And that's where the dairying also occurs. And so there is some competition for land there. The dairy industry needs more feed than it is able to produce on local land, on the local land base. And so a lot of dairy feed is imported to Humboldt County. And then you introduce into this mix, you know, your other kinds of crops, whether it's, you know, fruit or vegetables or grains. And, you know, if we were trying to, you know, go back to, well, even providing 50% of the land, of the food, I suppose, you know, it'd be like, you know, we need every square inch of farmland we've got in the county to do that. Obviously, back when we were doing 95%, the population base was a whole lot smaller. But, you know, I don't really have any real calculated quantitative basis for this. It's just more my instinct. You know, I mean, we know there are lands that are probably not being used. You know, there's not nearly so much agriculture in the Toll Valley as there once was. And, you know, so we're starting to raise grains out there. We're learning what kinds of rotations grain works well in Humboldt County with animal pasture and, you know, and following alfalfa or something like that. You also have the coastal inland thing, you know. I mean, there's a lot of our coastal lands are in dairy, and they do well, very well for certain kinds of vegetable crops, but they're not really the warmer crops, or, you know, warmer season crops. I mean, we all know this, you know, the peaches come from Willow Creek and the best melons come from, well, I shouldn't say Orleans, but a lot of good ones come from Orleans and from Southern Humboldt too. And, you know, so you have these climatic differences that also play into what we can grow where.
Right. You mentioned earlier land use, and we've been looking at the general plan update. Been going on for 12 years now, over a decade. Where are we now? We've had several, you mentioned the different opinions amongst the farmers in our community, and there have been quite a few discussions in recent time. Where are we now in relation to the county's existing general plan and your opinion on whether we are actually going to be able to preserve our agricultural lands into the future with what we're working on in the general plan update?
Yeah, well, the broad picture here is that it's taken a long time, but the Planning Commission has completed their work on the general plan update, and they've sent it on to the Board of Supervisors, who have developed a list of items that they want to review. It's not the entire document, but it's quite a bit, probably a lot of the substantial stuff. I'll say this, that during the last 4 or 5 years, I have been representing before the Planning Commission the North Coast Growers Association, together with the Fortuna and Southern Humboldt Market Associations. And we started out with the basic direction, which is strengthen the agricultural zoning and land protection in the county, because we just see an awful lot of land that seems to turn into rural residential estates or horse ranchettes or that kind of thing, and is lost to commercial agricultural production. You know, you've got members of those associations who are farming on very small acreage because it's what they could find, not necessarily what they want. And some of those people are, it's very difficult to make a living when you're having to farm 4 to 6 different parcels and run around all the time to do that. So we're trying to, this plan, of course, applies to the inland area of the county as opposed to the coastal area. The coastal area has its own plan. But one of the things that we tried to do, or one of the key things we tried to do, was to make the land use designations and zoning in the inland area at least as strong as that which is in the coastal area, which provides for 60-acre minimum parcel size on prime agricultural soils, and bring you back to prime agricultural soils, but and with some fairly narrow exceptions. And that seems to be on that particular issue, which was the key one for all the combined growers market associations, that the board, well, as of a couple of days ago, they seem to be satisfied with that. You know, of course, we don't know. We're hopeful that that will be what they will finally adopt when they vote out the whole plan.
Yeah, and that's pretty similar to what we have right now in our existing.
Yeah, that the 60-acre minimum with the narrow exceptions has worked fairly well in the coastal areas to provide a stable land base for agriculture in those areas. You know, in the inland, we've seen quite a bit more subdivision, and you know, it's just a shame. I mean, and Chuck Newcomb comes down from Willow Creek and he talks about the situation up there, and you know, and it's a great place. It's got good soils. It's got warm climate. You know, as he told the Board of Supervisors, that's great. He put a fully ripe peach and a fully ripe tomato on the lectern in front of him before he started talking. He told him, you know, look, Willow Creek's the first. We have corn by the 1st of July. We got the first tomatoes. We got the first melons. You know, I was up there recently. It's warm nights. That's what does it. And you know, unfortunately, in the 1984 plan, Willow Creek was just about written off as an agricultural place. It's all, you know, large lot residential,
right,
for the
right.
most part. And so those guys are trying to piece it back together up there. I think it's heroic, really.
Yeah, and it also, you know, seeing the lines out at the farmer's market, I mean, you can't get a peach in the afternoon because the lines are so long.
You know, yeah, and if you come in with a whole truckload, they're gone in a half
yeah,
an hour.
Yep, exactly.
You know, so read between the lines here, folks, grow more peaches.
Yeah.
And I'm maybe some Southern Humboldt folks who are listening to your program, but some parts of Southern Humboldt very good for peaches. You know, the Fort Seward-Aldecorn area, it's basically equivalent climate to Willow Creek.
You're listening to the Eco News Report. I'm your host, Dan Ayersman, here with John Loboito of Camp Grant Ranch. John has been a spokesperson for the North Coast Growers Association, and we're here today speaking about the past, present, and future of agriculture in Humboldt County. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the size of land, and that's been of issue with regard to both agricultural lands as well as our forest lands. And there have been, that's been the height of a lot of the debate over the last decade or so regarding what makes sense as far as maintaining our landscapes and forests and agricultural uses. And some folks would argue that the smaller the lands, the more opportunities that provides for people to get out on the land. What's your take on that?
Well, I would say that probably that's the lesson that the growers associations have learned since the 1984 plan, is that when you create smaller parcels, that almost inevitably they turn into rural residential estates and horse ranchettes, and they are lost to commercial ag production. So, you know, since you can't mandate how a person uses their land once they buy it, the best way to keep farmland protected is to keep it in large parcels. And the 60-acre minimum in the coastal areas has served reasonably well. And of course, that doesn't mean that all lands will be 60 acres, but it means that if they're smaller than that, they will not get further subdivided.
Right. Right.
And we think that's really important. You know, there's only people are really surprised when they learn that only about 3% of the land area of Humboldt County are the really good soils that are capable of producing a lot of food, commercial production of food. And only about, we're probably only in the inland area, which is what we're talking about in this plan, it's probably only about 1%, because of course the, you know, it's the deltas of the major rivers, and the biggest part of the delta is near the coast, and as you go up the river, the terraces get smaller, like I was talking about Camp Grant, maybe 100-150 acres at Camp Grant. And, you know, I mean, you compare this to, I mean, we're probably talking about, let's just say roughly 50,000 acres in the whole county of land that is what we call prime farmland, is capable of producing of a great diversity of food crops. And that's, you know, and as compared to, say, a typical San Joaquin or Sacramento Valley county, probably is 500,000 acres. So we're like 10% of what they have. And one figure I mentioned to the Board of Supervisors was that, you know, the conversion of farmland in California overall is estimated to be about 50,000 acres a year. Just about exactly how much we have in total in the whole county.
Huh.
So, you know, this is, and you know, and we're a mountainous forested county. So farmland is, you know, it's very limited, and it's a really precious resource. And if we're going to continue to provide food here, we absolutely have to protect it.
And precious was what came to my mind as well. And when we're looking, a lot of conversations going on recently about the sea level rise and how that's going to impact the agricultural, the lower lying agricultural land through saltwater intrusion, as well as direct loss. And that seems to be even more of a concern to protect not only the lower lying, but making sure that we're focusing on those in the upper elevations.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I guess I should mention this one, too, is that around Humboldt Bay, we have a lot of acquisition of land for public purposes for, you know, essentially wildlife habitat and stuff like that. And I do not know what affect the sea level rise, or because I don't know how much we're actually looking at, but a lot of those lands are historically protected by a system of levees and dikes.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, it's pretty basic stuff. And you know, it's a very difficult situation, because I know there are people in the county who feel intensely about the need to, you know, to provide more habitat around the bay, but it does have a direct impact on where agriculture has occurred for historically for over 100 years.
Sure.
And so these are not easy issues. They're not easy issues in the inland area either, where we have less. And, you know, I think let me go back to the general plan. I know that the plan should have policies in it that both, you know, protect our prime farmlands from conversion to residential development, and it also has some policies that encourages less public acquisition, or at least if it is acquired, we try to have a cooperative thing where you know, the use of the land can remain in support of agriculture too.
Right, exactly. Well, thank you very much, John. Just to wrap up here, was wondering if you could give folks, point people in the direction where they can find any more information about history of agriculture in Humboldt County and other ways to get involved in agriculture in this region.
Well, of course, there's great historic resources. I mean, you know this. The Humboldt Room at the library, a wonderful picture we came up with recently about wheat grown in the Arcata Bottoms. I mean, you wouldn't be looking at it, you would hardly believe it, just what you're seeing in the picture if you're to be out there today. And, you know, I believe the Agriculture Department on Humboldt Hill has some historic materials that you can look over. They certainly have some records going back a long way. You can go to the Farm Bureau website, which is redwoodsag.org, and there's a number of links there to other agricultural organizations in the county. The North Coast Growers Association has a website. The Community Alliance of Family Farmers has a website. And you know, all of these are folks that know a good deal about what's going on with food production in Humboldt County.
All right. Appreciate that.
Well, here, I was just thinking as I'm sitting here at the exit to Pepperwood, right? Okay, so Pepperwood was you know, a tremendous historic heartland of agriculture in Humboldt County, after which Shively Homes, you know, it, the thought of at one time is like the fruit and vegetable capital of Humboldt County. You know, people used to come out here, you know, to buy carloads of tomatoes and cucumbers and beans to take home to do home canning. That's all part of the history of the county. And go through Pepperwood today, and there's a couple of stands, but most of the land has been purchased by Humboldt Redwood State Park and turned into planted back to redwood trees. And, you know, again, these are not easy issues, but it's tough from a farmer's perspective when you see this happen.
Well, one thing that comes to mind, that issue gets brought up a lot, is the public acquisitions and the loss of agricultural lands through those. And it does seem like there are a few good examples in the county of cooperative management from the Fish and Wildlife Service and the local ranchers who are running cattle on some of the areas around here. And it seems like that those are potential solutions to maintaining wildlife habitat while at the same time preserving that agricultural use.
Yeah, a philosophic discussion. It's been as long as I've been farming in Humboldt County, we've been arguing about whether or not, you know, grazing actually was beneficial. And I'm glad to see that Department of Fish and Game and Fish and Wildlife Service have come around to that. There's definitely, like you say, some good examples. You know, it's a process of continuous education because the personnel in those agencies are continually changing.
Well, John, we really appreciate it. And thanks for the last minute appearance here. And thanks.
All right.
My guest today has been John Laboito. This has been the Eco News Report. My name is Dan Erisman, and I've been your host for the past half hour. If you'd like to replay this interview or share it with others, you can go to the Public Affairs page on KHSU website at khsu.org, where these programs are archived for 2 weeks after they air. Previous shows are posted on the North Coast Environmental Center's website at yournec.org. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call KHSU's listener comment line at 826-6089. The Eco News Report is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Many thanks to Fred McLaughlin for engineering. Join us again next Thursday at 1:30 here on KHSU for the Eco News Report.